The life you crave. Many of us dream of the life we want, but do we really believe we can have it? If you can dream of the type of life you can crave, you can achieve it. But first, we must decide what life we really want, what goals, what accomplishments, what lifestyles we really crave. Today, we will focus on how to imagine and develop our thoughts towards getting the life we really want. You know, craving is a desire. It's a hunger. It's a thirst. It's deep. And as a human being, we are free to will whatever state of mind we desire. But we've got to create the hunger and thirst in ourselves. It's called self-motivation. It is truly one of the essences of emotional intelligence. And this is where an understanding of the creature we call human helps us. The more we can understand ourselves and other people, the better we can do in this journey called life. Man is a threefold being. I am a spirit. I live in a body. I possess a consciousness. So do you. If you think about it, the real us is the spirit. Our body is the medium by which we express ourselves. It's our tabernacle. It's our vehicle. And we possess a consciousness. If you think about it, all life goes into three categories. Exists on the physical plane, the conscious plane, which is social, and then the spiritual plane. Take plant life. Plant life exists on a physical plane, not social. I haven't seen two plants talking to each other unless you've been smoking one of them. Animal life, however, exists on not only a physical plane, but a conscious plane as well. They communicate. We get them as pets because they're social creatures. However, man is above all. See, human life exists on the physical, on the conscious, mental, and on the spiritual plane. Consider this. In the same degree by which the plant life is separated from the animal life by the inclusion of the consciousness, so man, we, are separated from the animal life by the inclusion of the spirit aspect of his nature. Why do you need to know this? Because we need to know how we work. Man, we are a triune creature. Triune is an interesting word. It's consisting of three in one, both three and one at the same time. That's what triune means. So let's logically put together the path to get from where we are now to where we want to be. It's called clear vision. And clear vision is about understanding three questions. Where am I now? Where am I going? And what will it take to get there and how long? And I know question number two and question number three seem really important, but first we got to figure out question number one. Where am I now? Because if you don't know where your starting point is, you can't get to there from here. If we're not honest enough with ourselves to figure out where are we now, where is our starting point, then we can't get to there from here. So we got to have a clear vision. And a clear vision is about seeing it, about hearing it, about feeling it. Clear vision is about change. It's built in about growth, about more, about not accepting good enough to get by, good enough for government work, good enough for tenure, good enough that he or she doesn't walk out the door and leave a note on the wall and take the kids with them. See, if we are going to be true warriors, if we are under construction, we're going to be a little bit better each day, then change is one of our few constants in life. Let's go to the good book, the good news, the most published, the most read, the most printed book in the entire world, the Bible, basic instruction before leaving Earth. And let's go to the first sentence, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. I always tell people, stop right there. Because our first introduction to God is as creator. And then you drop down 25 verses, Genesis 1:26. It says, let us make man in our image, unto our likeness. Don't you get it? We were made in the God class. You see, we were made to create. Our first introduction to God is as creator. And then we're told we're gonna make man just like us. We are imagers of God. We have been given free will. We have been made to create. To think is to create. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Hold your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Focus only on those things that are good and pure. Don't you hear it? The battle is in the mind. And so today, we're creating. The question we need to ask ourselves is, what am I creating? We were made to create. We are working perfectly. We are getting exactly the results we have programmed ourselves to get. And is that what you want? If not, you're the boss. You're in the driver's seat. It's time to change it. And so as we seek understanding, We got to figure this out. What drives us? What moves us? What motivates us? Well, the answer is our beliefs. Everything we do or do not do is driven by a belief. The way we feel about what we do or do not do is driven by our beliefs. This is where we gotta understand how we work. If we are gonna make lasting changes, some improvements, then let's get to our beliefs. They are the building blocks. And this is why I teach you all the sciences: neuro-linguistic programming, transactional analysis, cognitive behavioral therapy, emotional intelligence, multiple intelligence. So let me remind you the importance of our beliefs. From the psychological point of view, there are six levels that human beings work most often. And at the very top is spirit, identity, beliefs and values, capabilities, behavior, and environment. Now, those are six levels, spirit being the top one. The next level is identity. The third level down is beliefs and values. The fourth level down is capabilities. The fifth level down is behavior. And the sixth level down is environment. The basic level, you can't get any more basic than your environment. That's where our external constraints are. Now, we operate in our environment through our behavior. Our behavior is guided by our mental maps and our strategies, which define our capabilities. These capabilities are organized by our belief systems, which include our values. Beliefs are organized by our identity, who we think we are. And consider this: our identity derives its essential meaning from our spirit. In other words, why are we here? And so we have beliefs at all those levels, and different levels are more powerful. Now, a couple points to understand when dealing with these logical levels. It's easier to change things at the bottom versus the top. Like, it's easier to change where you hang out than your God. It's easier to change what you do than who you are. Do you see? It's easier to change the things on the bottom versus the top. Also, change takes place from the top down, not the bottom up. So change takes place from the top down, not the bottom up, just like in most organizations. And lastly, to quote Einstein, you can never solve a problem at the same level it's created at. You have to go to the level above it. And so for the longest time, the logical levels stopped at identity. Here's the problem. We are the problem. See, we always think the problem's out there, but it's not. It's in here. And so if man is the problem, if I am the problem, and I am, then if I'm the top level, I can't go to the level above that. And for those of you who do not believe in a personal God, that's okay. To those people, spirit's your bigger connection to the universe. The bigger the energy force, the purpose, the driving force, whatever that is. For me, it's God. It's Yahweh. It's Adonai. It's El Shaddai. It's El Elyon, his son, Jesus the Christ. But for you, it's whatever's above you. And so you probably heard the adage, criticize the behavior, not the person. Compliment the person, not the behavior. It's something I call HR 101. Why? Because as I told you, it's easier to change what you do than who you are. So when criticizing, to be constructive, focus on a behavior, because that is easier change. We have control over what we do a lot more than who we are. Conversely, as leaders, any chance we have to build another human being, to speak life into them, it should be our goal to do so. So understanding this gives us an opportunity to build up the person based on the exhibited behavior, and this reinforces the behavior and it encourages the person. This is where understanding comes in. We need to be aware that our success, our failure, or feedback, the opportunities are going to come down to our beliefs and our emotions about what we are doing. This is why we must engage the fuel source in this dream. Think about that. As we decide to change, to get more involved in the creation rather than the causation of our life, we can dare to call it a dream. The time is now to choose. What's going to happen that one day? Are you going to dream a little dream? What happened that one day that you drew a line in the sand? That one day you decided, you asserted, you became willing. That great line in the sand up until now. What is that dream that you want? And that's where we understand that we got to keep it simple, soldier. Dr. William Marston wrote a great book about 100 years ago, 1923, called The Emotions of Normal People. And in there, he posited that that adults learn in chunks of information. He said at the time, 7 ± 2, and that was 100 years ago. And so I'm telling you right now, we can't hold on to 7 things. Keep it simple, soldier. There are 3 steps to becoming our dreams. And the first one is want it. And want it goes back to the word we've been using today, crave. Want it's about desire. Don't approach the throne of your goals without desire. Desire is emotional involvement. What stirs you up? What are you willing to draw a line in the sand for? What do you want so bad that you want to risk looking like a fool, that you're willing to do whatever it takes? Don't give me any meatloaf. I'm talking about the British rock star who died not too long ago. Remember, he said he'd do anything for love, but he won't do that. And so many people, they talk about what they crave, what they desire, what they dream of, but they have a list of things. I won't do that. No meatloaf here. Our lives are too big, too important, too special. The people in our life need too much of us to give them leftovers. So desire is about emotional involvement. If you don't have desire, then when you stumble, when you fall, when you get set back, when you get disappointed, and you will, you'll give up. You've got to be able to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and hit it again. And if it knocks you down again, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and hit it again and again and again and again. We call that courage. Outside of our comfort zone is that zone called fear. And so embrace the emotion, embrace the desire, get the craving going, because it helps to move through that zone called fear. And once you know what you want, the second step is to create it. Begin with the end in mind. Act as if you accomplished it. The reason why most people don't accomplish goals is the same reason why people buy and sell real estate. Location, location, location. We start in the here and now and we move forward and then we lose interest. You know why? Because it's not real. And again, why would you give your life for a lie? If you look at the apostles, you look at the half-brother of Jesus, James. When Jesus was alive, James thought he was a nut job. Read the book. But something happened after he died. He saw him after he died and was resurrected, that James gave his life. He would not denounce Jesus as Messiah. A man who earlier thought he was crazy now died for him. See, would you die for a lie? Most people want to die for the truth. But boy, when you make those dreams real, you're willing to be pushed off a cliff for it because that's how much you believe in it. Beginning with the end in mind is nothing more than making it real. You project yourself in the future. You see yourself accomplishing your goal, your outcome. And then you identify, what does that you look like? What does that you sound like? What does that you feel like? Remember, our unconscious mind does not differentiate between Hollywood and reality. I think it was the Irish Journal of Science that said that 40% of all first-term memories are made up. And the unconscious mind doesn't differentiate between the two. So you got to begin with the end of mind. Act as if you accomplished it. What does it look like? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? What does it smell like? What does it taste like? That makes it real, which then activates the law of attraction, the attraction beam. So you know what you want. You did step one, you wanted it. You got emotionally involved. Number two, you create it. Began with the end of mind. What does it look like, sound like, feel like, smell like, taste like? You create it. You make it real. And then step number three, live it. Action equals power. Power equals action. We make a plan. We work the plan. We start setting goals. We have a mission, which is our reason why. We have a vision, which is our reason how. It was Nietzsche who said, he who has a why can bear almost any how. That's the emotional involvement, is the why. That's the deeper purpose. And so if each one of these action steps under live it, each action step has three pieces. What's to be accomplished? Be specific. That's step one. Step two, what resources are needed to accomplish this? Time, money, and resources. And then step three, when will you have this completed? Date and time certain. Specific date. So this is how you create goals. You decide what you want. You get emotionally involved. You begin with the end in mind. You now make it real. You see yourself accomplishing that goal. And then you put structure to it. You make it real. What does it look like? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? And now that you're at the very end, you come back to the beginning and you live it. And you start putting in those steps. It could be 1,000 steps, or it could be 822 steps, or it could be 68 steps, or so it could be 91. Start with five. These are the first five steps moving in the direction of your mission. Each mission is a stepping stone, each goal, I should say. It has three pieces. What is to be accomplished? Be specific. What resources are needed to accomplish this? Time, money, or resources? And when will you have it completed? Date and time specific. See, what I'm teaching you is how to dream the big dream, but not just dream it, accomplish it. Remember, in the beginning, God created. 25 verses later, let us make man in our image. What is that image? The image of God. We were made to create, to dream a big dream. Do you have the dream yet? Do you got the thing? What is it? What is that goal? What is that outcome? What is that thing you are willing to commit to? What is that thing in order to have, do, or accomplish? And see, this is again where the understanding the structure of goals helps a warrior out. Again, many of us dream of the life we want, but do we really believe it? And if we can dream of the type of life you crave, I believe that you can achieve it. But first, we must decide what life we really want, what goals, what accomplishment, and what lifestyle we really crave. Are you hungering yet? Are you thirsting yet? Not for lunch, not for dessert, but for a new you, for better you, for brighter you, for a better life. Here is how you either come up with, solidify, or decide on what is your dream, what is your goal, what is your outcome that you're going to commit to or accomplish. And this is where, as we're setting goals, setting dreams, because we're talking about change here. You can call it outcomes, you can call it goals, you can call it dreams, but I want you to know there's structure. Science is something that is duplicatable. If you always drop an apple off a cliff, it will always fall. Why? Because of science. And so you got to understand, there is a science around goal setting. There are actually six elements of a well-formed outcome. And what this means is if you're going to set a goal, if you're going to set an outcome, then you want to set it properly, because setting it properly increases the probability that you're going to accomplish it. So let's go through the six elements of a well-formed outcome. And please, as I discuss these, start honing your goal. Take your goals, take your outcomes, take your dreams through these six steps so you can hone in on the best way to set your outcome to achieve maximum results. So the first step is state your goal positively. State what you want, not what you don't want. So important. So many people, they don't know what they want, but they can give me a plethora of lists of things they don't want. I don't want to be in a dead-end marriage. I don't want to be yelled at. I don't want to give a speech. I don't want to stay up all night. I don't. But what do you want? And why that matters is we have a RAS, a reticular activating system. It's part of the unconscious brain. And its sole purpose is to help us achieve our goals. And a lot of it's at the unconscious level. And so you got to know how we work. And so when we focus on what we don't want, we actually move in that direction. The reticular activating system does not affirm. If I was to tell you right now, do anything you want in your mind's eye, but don't picture the Statue of Liberty, you couldn't stop it, because your mind is six times faster than you can talk. And so you got to realize a lot of people are focused on what they don't want, and they're actually creating it, and they don't get that they're the ones doing it. So first of all, what do you want? What is the outcome you want? Number two, put your goals in context. When, where, and with who do you want this outcome? What you see, hear, and feel inside as you consider this will create some emotion. By adding emotion, it'll increase your motivation and commitment. It makes it real. We are emotive creatures. It's time to get emotional. Life is an undulating line. It has highs and lows. It has peaks and valleys. And let's be honest, most people stopped dreaming a long time ago because they've been disappointed. They've been let down. So they don't dream anymore. And so that high never goes high. It goes down to the middle. And a lot of us have so much pain that we numbed ourselves. We either self-medicate through chemicals, through something we pop, something we smoke, something we drink, something we do. Or we just go numb. And pain is a great motivator. And what happens to most people, because they've been hurt so long, is they no longer feel the pain. They don't go too high and they don't go too low. And it's just flat line right across the middle. It's time to wake up. It's time to get emotionally involved. Dead people have no emotions. But those of us that are alive are emotionally involved. Use your emotions to your advantage. Which brings us to number three. Express your goal in specific sensory terms. Begin with the end in mind. So we talked about want it, create it, live it. Here it is also in the six elements of well-formed outcome, because it's important. Your emotions are movers. They move us. And this is why God gives us pain. It tells us something's not right. Do something different. Paul was asked, why are you kicking against a goad? A goad's a prod, a pointy stick that you poke toward an animal to move them off of what they're doing to a different area. And Paul was asked by Jesus, why are you kicking against the goads? In other words, I'm prodding you, Paul. I'm getting you off this course to another course. Why are you kicking against it? You're just going to hurt yourself. What are you doing? Are you hurting yourself? Are you kicking against the goads? You've got to express your goal, your outcome, your desire in sensory-specific terms. What does it look like? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? What does it smell like? What does it taste like? This process not only helps clarify and build a goal, it actually helps you tune your neurology. And it has to be real. What is real is what people can see, what they can hear, what they can feel, what they can touch, what they can smell. This is why I love our emotional intelligence class. In that class, I get to teach. I get to show you how you work, how we process information, and exactly what to do to change the things we want to change. But here's the best part. You also get to learn how the people around you work. Why? So we can be better husband or wife, so we can be a better mom or dad, a better boss, a better friend. Doesn't it make sense? If you understand me better and I understand you better, we are in a position to have a better relationship. Check out wayofwarrior.training for more details. Element four, Evaluate honestly the effects of achieving your goals. Will you lose anything that you now have and want to keep by achieving this goal? This means thinking about your goal in a bigger picture. You know, I've been doing counseling for 32 years. You can go to wayofwarrior.training to read about it. And I was coaching this gentleman. He worked at a golf course in Arizona, did a lot of work with Superstition Mountain and the PGA. And he wanted to quit smoking. And he had a big trouble. He was a goal-getter. Man, we had accomplished a lot. We'd fixed a lot of things in his life. He was making more money than ever. A lot of things, but he struggled with quitting smoking. And after a little bit of work, we found out why. You see, at the end of his day, one of his rituals was he and his wife, they would sit on the balcony on the golf course. They lived on a golf course. And they would watch the sunset. They would have a glass of wine or two. And they would smoke and debrief their day, kind of get each other caught up. It was a social thing. And so what happened, deep down, this guy was afraid at the unconscious level that if he quit smoking, it would affect his relationship with his wife. See, this is where we have belief systems at the unconscious level that we're not aware of. So when he was to quit smoking, the unconscious connection was it would hurt his relationship with his wife. Why? Because smoking equaled debrief time, equaled relationship, equaled intimacy. You see, that could be going on in a goal or an outcome that you want to set. There could be some visible pros or cons, some other things attached. Even if you apply all your willpower to a badly thought out goal, you will start sabotaging yourself because there's belief systems in there that you are violating. So this is why we got to go deep and really ask ourselves, am I sure I really want this? What impact will achieving this have on the rest of my life? Here's a powerful question. Ready for this one? What will happen if I do not accomplish this goal? Element 5, choose a worthwhile goal. Finally, the goal should feel worthwhile to you. It doesn't matter if it's to others or not. This is about you. It's important to identify the positive consequences of our outcomes, our changes, our goals. We might not usually think in this depth when setting day-to-day goals, outcomes, or changes. But we must consider that when we aim at positive, worthwhile targets, our system naturally motivates us to achieve our goal and overcome the obstacles in our path on the way. Here are a couple great questions. How will my life differ by doing this? What will I get by achieving this goal? What further goal does it take me towards and for what purpose? And number 6, the 6th element of a well-formed outcome is choose a goal that you can fulfill yourself. This goal needs to be in our control. If it is dependent on someone else, we cannot control someone else. Who are you running around wanting to change? When the only person we can truly change is ourselves, but then that change can inspire change in other people. We need to abandon what other people want and figure out what we want. This must be something we can fulfill ourselves. Now, if it's not something you can fill on your own, I'm not saying you have to abandon your goal if it concerns somebody else. But you need to understand it's not properly formed. So we ask the questions, can I take charge of the changes required? Does it depend on me? Do I need others? How can I do it? Now that we have what we want established, now we habitualize it. We got to remember, we are programmed creatures. We work at the unconscious level. A majority of our processing in this experience called life is at the unconscious level. So if you can make any changes in your life, you must follow the rules of the unconscious brain. See, in this unconscious brain, we have a cluster of cells, neurons, and they call it the basal ganglia. It is the unconscious brain's habit center. The job, the role of the basal ganglia, you ready for this, is to get us into a habit as quick as possible. So our limited conscious use of our brain can be used for the important task of making our daily decisions. So what's a habit? And a lot of people, when you hear the word habit, you think it's negative. But it's not necessarily negative, as most are inclined to feel based on how the word is used in their world. What is a habit? A habit is a behavior that has been repeated enough times to become automatic. The ultimate purpose of habits is to solve the problems of life with as little energy and effort as possible. We got to understand that any habit can be broken down into a feedback loop that involves 4 steps. There's a cue, there's a craving. There's that word again, craving, emotional involvement, a desire, a hunger, a thirst, right? Then there's a response, and there's a reward. The 4 laws of behavior change are a simple set of rules we can use to build better habits. So for the cue, we've got to make it obvious. For the craving, we've got to make it attractive. For the response, we got to make it easy. And for the reward, we got to make it satisfying. So logically, if there's some things we want to get rid of and move so we can accomplish our goals, we now just invert the four laws. So again, on the cue, make it invisible. On the craving, if you want to get rid of something, make it unattractive. On the response, make it difficult. And on the reward, make it unsatisfying. This understanding allows for us to create an environment, and that's the key. It is our environment that is so important. The environment that allows and encourages good choices, or what you might call proper behavior, based on who we say we are, our identity. I call it the fiery furnace of personal improvement. And we consider those three parts of the fire triangle. There's actually something called the fire triangle. And it says that there's four things that must be present at the same time in order to produce a fire. It's science, right? We all know we need oxygen. We all know we need heat. We all know we need some kind of fuel source. And those three things are referred to as the fire triangle. Now, you add in the fourth element, the chemical reaction, and you actually have what's called a tetrahedron. The important thing to remember, listen carefully. If you take any of these four things away, you will not have a fire, or the fire will be extinguished. Now, what about our lives? What about getting fired up, baby? Getting on fire with your dreams, on fire with purpose, on fire with passion. So we too have a fire triangle, but it's better referenced as a fiery furnace of growth. And it's actually an upside down triangle because the balance and power comes from a solid environment. So I'm gonna take those four things in the fire triangle and now equate those to what you need for the fiery furnace of growth triangle. So number one, we talk about oxygen. That is our environment. The environment is so critical. It allows us to live. It allows us to live well or allows us to live poorly. It allows us to live at a higher level or allows us to live at a lower level. It allows us to be willing or allows us to no longer be willing, to be unwilling. So number one, oxygen, that equates to our environment. Number two, heat, that equates to our behavior. And number three, fuel, that equates to our identity. You add in the fourth element. What is the fourth element? Is the belief systems. It's what we're talking about today. If you picture an upside down triangle, at the very bottom is environment. That is the tilt. On one side is identity, on the other side is behavior. Because are you the type of person that would do this? Or you're the type of person that would never do this? Do you see how our identity and behavior are tied together? And then the key to make it fire, to make it burn, to make it spark, we've got to create our environment. Not just our physical environment, but our mental environment. Because remember, we're a three-part being. We're a triune creature. We have a physical aspect to us, we have a mental slash emotional aspect to us, and we have a spiritual aspect to us. And so when I say we got to create the environment, it's not just physical, though that's absolutely critical. Please do not hear me downplaying it. I'm also talking about the mental. We've got to be assertive instead of letting the narrative run on its own. We've got to take control of the narrative. How the heck does someone create their own reality? Have you ever asked that? Because we do. No one responds to reality. We respond to our map of reality. We don't respond to how things are. We respond to how we believe things are. And our self-talk, remember, we have 16,000 to 18,000 talks a day with ourselves, and most of them are the unconscious level. By shifting our self-talk from being a streaming narrative where you talk about yourself, others, and life, a dialogue of opinion and judgment, to get control of it, to hold your thoughts captive, and start being assertive, where you cast all of the default noise aside and assert your power right here and right now. Assertive self-talk is when you stake a claim for this moment of time, right here, right now. You draw that line and you command ownership of that moment. When you start to talk in terms of I am, or I embrace, or I accept, or I assert, notice the power. It's power speak, speaking to win. All of which are powerful and commanding use of language rather than the narrative of I will or I'm going to. The physiological, psychological impact of using in-the-moment assertive language is not only powerful, it has a very real in-the-moment effect. There's a massive difference between I am relentless and I will be relentless. And one of those statements intervenes in this moment of your life. The other lives more like a description of what's to come rather than what is here. All of this will require us to be assertive, speak life in our daily life, catch ourselves when we're using the more general narrative kind of speaking. Our words matter. They are programming. And what we believe is what we listen to most often, what we say to ourselves over and over and over, remembering that we have 16,000 to 18,000 thoughts a day, and many of those are unconscious. And our repeated experiences, our repeated narrative and time allows us to create beliefs about us that are not true, because if we believe a lie to be the truth, then we'll act as if. We look in the direction of our movement, and we move in the direction of our focus. We respond as if it's true. We react based on our beliefs about the situation, about our ability to handle the situation, and about our value as it relates to this situation. If you are believing that you can't do something, or you are not worthy, or you are not lovable, then we act according to those beliefs. Warrior, the problem is never out there. It's always in here, in our heart, in our mind. Let's be honest, we can get bound up by the strangest things, imaginary or real. The unconscious mind does not differentiate between Hollywood and reality. Many of us have been tied to the future based on ropes and knots that were secured in the past. We must remember we're all working perfectly. Now, I personally don't believe anyone except one can be perfect, and that one is Jesus of Nazareth. The rest of us all fall short of the glory of God. However, we must realize that we are all working perfectly. We are getting exactly the results we have programmed ourselves to get. So if we don't like the results, we change the approach. When we start dealing with belief systems, the cause of our actions and inactions, then we are restructuring the program to get different results. The truth is, there are more mental self-imposed boundaries in our heads and hearts than real life boundaries. But how do we know the difference? It's a journey of understanding, commitment, and being outside our comfort zones to experience what is on the other side of our own self-imposed limitations. Thank you so much for joining me today. Please like this show and subscribe to get more great content like this. Also, I'd love to hear from you, so please leave me a review. If you would like more information or you would like to connect with me, please visit wayofwarrior.training. That's wayofwarrior.training. Until next time, remember, when you live your life like it matters, it does.